It is now time to rein in evil and bring them to justice. Through the authority that has been delegated to us, it is time to destroy the destroyers. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million, the vast majority of the population of the U.S. Though the people of the U.S., where their numbers and influence are strongest, have primary responsibility for reining them in and bringing them to justice, all nations will participate since they reside the world over. They are called Illuminati, elite, proponents of the New World Order. They oppose everything that is God and truth. They are of the line that was disinherited 2,000 years ago. Everything they have built over the centuries, the wealth they have accumulated, the power they have established, the poisoning of the masses, the destruction of the earth and mankind, we will undo through the authority that has now been delegated to us. Visit our website at unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com. The message of his kingdom.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And right now we have with us, of course, Dr. Dennis Kenny. Dennis, you go ahead and pick up the story where you dropped it there.
Okay. Basically, I was just making the point that there's a tremendous amount of hypocrisy in our foreign policy. That in a case that I had mentioned, we were outraged that the communist Chinese were trying to influence through contributions our election process, and I oppose that as well. But the point is, then we turned right around and contributed $5 million to the opposition groups in Yugoslavia to oust Milosevic, and everybody thought that was just fine. Regarding the other topic that you were mentioning in your opening remarks about war with Iran, I'll just revisit that somewhat briefly to urge your listeners to think in terms, if something doesn't seem to make sense, like why would Ahmadinejad be suicidal with his pronouncements, think of it in terms of how would this fit in the power elite's plan moving us towards this world socialist government. And I mentioned this before, but I'll cover it briefly again. There's two possibilities. Either he's out of central casting, just like the Ayatollah Khomeini, where we put them into power and we take them out of power. He is setting the stage for some sort of massive strategic strike that will allow opposition groups in Iran to take over and form a wonderful West pro-Western democracy who will be allied with us and to further the progress that we've made in Iraq and pressure Syria and, you know, on and on and on and undercut Hezbollah and so forth and so on. Or it's a real war. It's a real war, in which case what will happen, and if it doesn't happen, your listeners need to think seriously about whether this is all a setup. In a real war, what would happen is we or Israel would make strategic strikes against the nuclear facilities with the bunker-busting bombs that you mentioned. We probably would not be able to take all of them out, but it won't matter. What will happen is it's very, very easy to close the Strait of Hormuz. It's very narrow. The Iranians are perfectly capable of doing that, especially if they're willing to commit suicide all over the place to do it. It's very easy for them to send at least 1,000 children into Iraq with suicide bombs attached to them to destabilize that situation. But that's only the beginning. You have to know that they have, unlike Iraq, they're three times the population of Iraq. They have to have many, many sleeper Iranian agents in this country. There are spies. We have spies everywhere. Other countries have spies here. It's a known fact. All right. As I've mentioned before, if you take just 50 committed Iranian agents in this country, remember Mohammed and Malvo, those two snipers around the Washington, D.C. area. They were killing people like, you know, every two, 3 days they'd kill people and kill people and kill people, and the police never could find them. The only reason they got them, and this was after like 3 weeks, was because the younger one made this phone call saying, check out this murder or, you know, robbery in Alabama somewhere. That allowed them to trace fingerprints up to the state of Washington, which allowed them to get, who knows how long they would have continued their killing spree and remain uncaught. Now, they were not trained. Think of how long trained Iranian agents could last in this country doing the following. It is extremely easy to set lots of forest fires. If you think California's situation is bad, try and, you know, multiply that 10 times all over the country. That is extremely easy. It's extremely easy with highly flammable fluid to set condominiums on fire all over the country, wooden ones. Now, the point is you don't have to kill everybody in all the condominiums. What happens is you set them ablaze in, let's say, 50 different major cities. The point is that is a real terrorist. Now, it was a terrorist attack when planes hit the buildings in New York, but it was isolated. But if you find all of a sudden condominiums in 50 cities burning each night, night after night after night after night, and fires, I mean, there's only so many fire trucks in each city. What would happen is the people in another city, which hadn't been hit, will say, well, you know, is it going to happen to me tomorrow night? You know, can I go to sleep tomorrow night? Same thing with food stores. All they have to do is tamper with some products in some food stores. You have a few deaths, and once again, you don't go to the grocery anymore like you've been doing. Americans used to go into a grocery. They go up and down the aisles. They look over the tomatoes or oranges or whatever. Forget it. That's gone. That'll be over. They'll have to have screenings. You'll have to, you know, call in an order, pick it up at the front door, because you won't be like, I mean, it will be a tremendous, tremendous impact. Trains. They know where trains go. They can find out the schedules of trains. All they got to do is find out at 3 in the morning when there's a passenger train, go out there as it's coming around a curve on a downhill grade and yank up the rail. Over the embankment it goes, 500, you know, deaths or whatever, and there's 50 of them. Not just one or two, 50 trains simultaneously. I mean, I don't want to go on because I've already done this, but if it was a real war, it is extremely easy for just 50 well-trained Iranian agents to wreak havoc and literally bring this country to its knees, not militarily, but economically. The stock market, all of these things are extremely fragile. They go up and down in dramatic movements simply based on the confidence of tomorrow to be a normal day. So those are the two possibilities, and either one is not something to look forward to.
All right, I agree with you. I think that had what happened on September 11th been a real terrorist attack, there would have been subsequent terrorist attacks as
sure.
Well. None. So we know very well, of course, that this was not what we were told, and all we have to do is look at Building 7 coming down to realize that was a controlled demolition, and I don't think there's any way that Osama bin Laden was able to get explosives into this Building 7 where the CIA and the Secret Service and the FBI had their headquarters. So obviously, then the question is, who brought Building 7 down? And that's a question that I don't want to get into, but if there was a real terrorist attack, there would have been follow-ups on it. It is not. And, of course, it was simply used to justify getting the Patriot Act and the Military Commission Act and all of these other Duck Soup's Office of Homeland Security enacted. So we're in real trouble. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens over there. If Israel does attack Iran, and all the information I'm getting from all over the world from fairly reliable sources anticipates that something big is afoot. How soon it is, I don't know. Will it be before the election or after the election? I don't know. But I do think it's very, very significant that they are apparently moving two new fleets, war fleets, into the Persian Gulf region. Perhaps they're just going to rotate home the other ones. Who knows what they're up to? I'll tell you what they're not going to tell us until it's a fait accompli. And we've been drawn into a major war, perhaps with catastrophic consequences and the deaths of tens of thousands of Americans.
Right. And what you look for to see these signals that are coming about is preparations that are underway that have timetables. For example, when Milosevic had to go, it was because it was according to a timetable. They wanted the European Union to have a trade route down to the Mediterranean. He was blocking the path. That's why we allied ourselves with the Macedonians who were pro Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden and so forth. According to the Canadian ambassador to Yugoslavia. I mean, this isn't just, you know, some wild conspiracy theory. And I put that in my book called Cover-Up. The quote by the Canadian ambassador saying, you know, this is what was really going on. The CIA was helping the KLA, the Kosovo Liberation Army. They were going into Yugoslavia, into Serbia, actually killing mayors and policemen. And so, you know, we train these guys and they do this. So what you do is look for the precondition. So the precondition that something is going to happen between the U.S. and or Israel and Iran is the following. What they're doing again is they want this channel. All right, the next channel is already underway. About a month ago, Nicolas Sarkozy, the president of France and the EU now, announced the beginning of something called the Union of the Mediterranean. All right, so now they have this Union of the Mediterranean. I think it's 27 EU nations plus the Arab nations in the area, northern African nations, and Israel. Now, for that thing to really kick off in a stable environment, Iran will have to be dealt with. And so here we are, just like the pre-Milosevic action, that they're setting up this particular entity that they want to be established and go forward, and it's going to deal with all sorts of issues, transportation coordination, immigration issues, security and cooperation. Now, how can you have security and cooperation between the Arab nations and Israel and northern Africa and so forth if you have Iran over there standing in the way? So that's what I say. Milosevic stood in the way. You had to have an action to get him out of there. Voila, you know, Kosovo Liberation Army and stirring up the pot. And so, as I said about, I guess a year and a half ago, I said, watch for action between the point at which I said about a year ago, and not immediately. I didn't say it was imminent a year ago. I said, this may not happen now. It may happen later rather than sooner. But I said it probably would happen within 3 months into the new administration of the next president. So, you know, we can see what's coming down the road pretty clearly.
Well, I think we're in a very, very difficult situation. I think that the Middle East is certainly just a powder keg. I believe that probably there's a powder keg over there in the Caucasus. But you have to understand that this is all orchestrated. Who funds the Russians who are trying to put down the Georgians? We do. And we have, if you haven't read my little pamphlet on the Communist Capitalist Alliance, you need to get it. Read Professor Sutton's book, Watch My Video, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit it, you can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Alabama state code makes it illegal to drive barefoot. In Downey, California, it's illegal to wash your car in the street. In Minnesota, you can be fined for displaying that your vehicle is for sale. These laws are obviously not made to protect us, but instead to help states profit. The use of red light cameras is another great example. They intrude on your privacy, are unconstitutional, and cost you valuable time and money. SprayYourPlate.com is a spray-on photo blocker that protects against red light cameras, toll cameras, and speed cameras. One application lasts a lifetime, is undetectable, and each can covers up to 4 license plates. Simply spray it on, let it dry, and you're protected. All orders are kept strictly confidential, and for the month of August, receive free shipping and a $5 bill enclosed with every order. Call 1-800-276-9601. That's 1-800-276-9601. Or go to SprayYourPlate.com. That's SprayYourPlate.com. Don't give your money to the state. Spray your plate.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us up the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to prevent your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They've both maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them both until now, your cash would actually have the buying power of only $4,800, but your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call me, John Ballman, today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Dr. Dennis Cuddy. And we're simply talking about this idea that so often we are told things, we see these things unfolding, but it's really not what it appears to be. We often open our program with a statement, reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. And so much of what goes on today is simply illusion, like the Vietnam War, a war that was actually triggered by the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which was as phony as a $3 bill. It didn't occur. And 58,000 American boys died for absolutely nothing. We never tried to finance to defeat the communists in South Vietnam. In fact, what we did everything we could to finance them. We wouldn't let our boys certainly bomb the hydroelectric plants or the electric generating plants or the supply depots in North Vietnam. We wouldn't let them bomb the railways leading from the Haiphong Harbor. We wouldn't let them bomb the Haiphong Harbor. We wouldn't let them blockade the Haiphong Harbor. And we were funneling massive amounts of money into the Soviet Union so that they could funnel massive amounts of money into the North Vietnamese so they could funnel massive supplies to the Viet Cong to kill our boys in South Vietnam. Once you understand that, it's a prototype of everything that's gone on both before and since then. So you pick up the story, Dennis.
Sure. It's just like Lyndon Bloomfield said in that report to Rhodes Scholar Dane Rusk. If the communist dynamic were greatly abated, the West would lose whatever incentive it has for world government. I mean, that's as clear as you can get. You have to maintain this communist dynamic, or now the radical Islamic dynamic, whatever. And so you have to have that for the dialectical process to go forward. You have the thesis, then there's the antithesis, and oh my goodness, we have to come up with a solution, which we just happen to have. It's the synthesis, and ultimately the synthesis will be the world socialist government. Picking up now on the article that I began last week, but we didn't finish talking about. I had titled it Obama, McCain, Tweedledum, and Tweedledumber, because these two cannot possibly be considered the best that America has to offer. But they are the candidates that the power elite wants. They're both advised, which means run, by certain individuals who you all know. You'll have a Kissinger supporting McCain and his allies, Council on Foreign Relations type people. Same thing on the other side. Obama has Zbigniew Brzezinski. It's the same crew each time. The candidates' faces may change, but it's the same crew who are pulling the strings of the puppets. And so in the article, I had talked about this Tweedledum and Tweedledumber really applies, because there's a lot of the Lewis Carroll element in these candidates, especially Obama. And I gave some examples of Lewis Carroll in Through the Looking Glass. You have Tweedledum, and what Tweedledum is, a character symbolic of a politician that's not really different from his opponent, who Lewis Carroll called Tweedledee. In fact, the drawings of them are pretty much exactly alike. They're sitting next to each other, and they look exactly alike. And that's for a very specific reason. It fits pretty much with what Cecil Rhodes' plan was, to have the secret society, to have a take the government of the world, as he said. And the individual who's Bill Clinton's mentor at Georgetown, Professor Carol Quigley, thought this was just fine. He titled his book Tragedy and Hope, and these people were the hope of the world. That's where he got the word hope from. And he said you ought to be able to kick the rascals out without really changing much of anything. And they were coordinating with the Fabian Socialists in this effort, and also organizations like Skull and Bones, and William Whitney, leader of Skull and Bones, a wealthy person in the late 1800s, said, we'll contribute to, we have this plan to contribute to both major political parties and then alternate power, so the stupid public, you know, thinks it has a choice when it really doesn't. And so there are other entities within Lewis Carroll's book, Through the Looking Glass. I mentioned Humpty Dumpty because he is an egg. He's sitting precariously on this wall, and he's symbolic of the head of state, or the power behind the head of state, who thinks he can't fall, but he does, and the words are he can't be put together to put back together again. And I said in my article, this today this symbolizes the precarious economic situation of the U.S. That's very much like when I was saying a few minutes ago about Iran. And the threat isn't that we'll be defeated militarily by Iran, but we are very, very fragile economically. And that's the key to this. The U.S. Considers itself a great power, but everything depends on a smooth-running economic engine. And if you start to tinker with that engine, or you have certain problems with it, stock market, you know, mortgages, not coming due, foreclosures, so forth and so on, then things start to unravel rather quickly, and it is like a chain reaction. So let me give you an example.
You're going to have to hold that example, because we're going to go to a break, but we'll get to it as soon as we get back here at Genesis.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of the counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Why should we fire Congress? Because they use the Constitution of the United States as a scrap of paper. They swear an oath to follow it, and then they reject it. That was their employment document. They haven't followed it. Congressmen, senators, you're fired.
Washington, you're fired!
I think it's the next freedom to fascism.
Washington, You're Fired was born out of sheer frustration with abuses in our current political system, and it gives a voice to Americans across the country. Washington, You're Fired examines constitutional issues as they relate to the Katrina disaster, the president's illegal spy program, NSA data mining, FISA's secret court, the illegal wiretapping of millions of Americans, and the last 7 years of terror-related spy bills, how they affect you, and what you can do about it. Washington, You're Fired captures the spirit and zest of an old-fashioned Boston Tea Party. Kem Williams describes the film as a rabble-rousing call to arms. We invite you to make the change with us. Help take back our government now. Go to TakeBackWashington.com and get the video tools you need for the information war. We have a plan to take back our government. Please visit TakeBackWashington.com.
Have you ever suffered from Giardia, food poisoning, heavy metal poisoning, arthritis, fatigue, or high cholesterol? Maybe you're one of the 75 million Americans that the Center for Disease Control reports as suffering from internal parasites. If so, Freshwater Organics is proud to introduce you to a million-year-old miracle that has been used all over the world by health-conscious individuals seeking alternatives to chemicals and drugs. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, is a 100% natural, organic product with absolutely no additives. When taken daily, it is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Many believe it is the key to a healthy digestive tract. To find an FPP distributor near you, or to buy it now online, go to www.freshwaterorganics.com. You can also call toll-free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest this afternoon, of course, is Dr. Dennis Cuddy. And, of course, if you'd like to see Dr. Cuddy's writings, you'll find them up on News Reviews. That's newsreviews.com, and certainly be recommended to you. Fascinating information there. We do carry a number of books that Dr. Cuddy has written, and on mental health screening, certainly on we have actually two books and a pamphlet on mental health screening. And we have his book, The Road to Socialism. And then, of course, we have his book on the timetable for the New World Order. I think it's basically, what's the exact title, Dennis, for education?
It's a chronology of education with quotable quotes. It covers 200 years and has a 3,000-item index.
All right, it's a wonderful book, and we recommend that to you. And they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. But you pick up the story there, Dennis, please.
Okay, one quick addition. You also have the third in that series after the mental health screening. You have the third volume called Education, Mental Health, and Social Control, which covers all three subjects, not just mental health. Picking up where we left off, I had mentioned that Humpty Dumpty is sitting precariously on the wall as an egg, which is symbolic of the rather precarious economic situation of the U.S. today. Now, it's important. I'm going to shift gears a little bit here from the article and explain this in a little bit of depth because it's important for your listeners. What most Americans are doing is like a person who has a health crisis looming. They have the beginnings of cancer, and it's going to be spreading rapidly, but instead of looking at that, they're concerned about a wart on their hand or a little cough they have that's maybe discomforting. What we have is a situation today where Americans are looking at mortgage failures, houses being foreclosed upon, rising gas prices, and it's on the news, and, you know, people are saying, oh, isn't this awful, and so forth. And for some reason, they're not aware of this monster coming just over the horizon, which is going to be far worse than any of these other things. And I'll describe it this way. What we are entering is the late 1800s all over again. Now, if you look out your front door, you won't see it here. But what happened when we entered into globalization is the world was transformed back to what America was in the late 1800s. In the late 1800s, you had these robber barons, the Carnegies, the Rockefellers, and others, Cyrus Vanderbilt. And people used to actually, workers used to bid and try to bid under each other. Mr. Rockefeller, I'll do the job for 50 cents a day. And the next person, I'll do it for 40 cents a day, and so forth. Now, America, after that, made a certain commitment. For example, child labor laws came into effect in the early 1900s because we decided we did not want children, you know, 9, 10 years of age, spending 12, 14, 16 hours a day in a mill or factory. But what we've done now in entering this world of globalization is we've returned to that that particular worldview and economic situation globally. Now, we haven't felt the full impact of that, but I'll describe how this is going to come about. If you pick up the phone and there's somebody calling you from Sprint, let's say, chances are really good they're calling from India. Also, x-rays that hospitals have that are to be read overnight and given to the doctor in the morning, those are being read in India, for example. This is called outsourcing. It's not just manufacturing jobs. However, what you need to understand is if there's a basic economic principle. If person A, wherever they are, in Missouri, California, it doesn't matter, if person A knows twice as much and has twice the ability of person B in producing something, and at the same time they say, I'll do it for one-tenth of what you'd pay person B, person A is going to get the job every time. Okay? That's what we're entering. If you, what you have in China already is a town, for example, that is concentrating on neckties. The youngsters going into the school from K through 12 will think and breathe nothing but neckties in terms of math, will be taught in terms of selling neckties, reading will be taught in terms of being able to read manuals and so forth. And everything will be concentrated around a particular specialization. This will also happen in other towns. They have 1.2 billion people there. They can literally have, in fact, I think there's a town, Shenzhen, I can't spell it, it's pronounced Shenzhen, that has, as we speak, 12.4 million people and 100,000 factories in the one town. Chances are really good your laptop, your pods, sneakers are made in that town, that one town. Now imagine towns like that all over China, where they literally concentrate on a particular area. And in a dictatorship, you can do that. In America, we have this general education. You know, we want to learn a little geography, a little art, a little literature, a little history, and so forth. And maybe, you know, around eighth grade, we'll start thinking about a future profession or occupation. There is no way our system, as it is now, can compete with a K through 12 system where the children are forced, whether they like it or not, to learn about, let's say, making tires or Venetian blinds or whatever the subject is. And there, and those people also, there is no way that we can compete not only with their ability, which they'll have if they learn this K through 12. They'll be far more knowledgeable about it than American students. But there's no way we can also compete with the fact that they will be getting only about one-tenth the wages of Americans. Now, you may say, well, you know, a lot of stuff at Walmart is already made in China, and so, you know, that impact has already occurred. No. You need to listen. As of last month, July, U.S. manufacturing jobs, there was about 13.5 million of these jobs. For example, there was, 473,000 in wood products. You have textile production mills, 148,000, textile mills themselves, 149,000. You have printing and related activities, 598,000. Furniture and related, 499,000. You had machinery, 1.2 million. Fabricated metal, 1.5 million, and so forth. Nearly all of those 13.5 million jobs can be made overseas. It doesn't have to be China. It can be another nation which entirely specializes. And those can be made overseas. And if you have slave labor, basically, they can charge a far lower price than we would charge because their wages would be about, let's say, one-tenth. I mentioned before in a program that a friend of mine's daughter was in an MBA program. They went to China. They visited some factories. She walked into the factory that manufactured Carter baby clothes for America, and she said it reeked of urine. Why? Because the workers were there, no restroom facilities. They were not allowed to leave their workstations except briefly at lunch. If they had to go to the bathroom, they went right there where they sat. Now, in America, we don't tolerate that. We have environmental laws, we have health laws, and so forth. So if we are not going to become exactly like a communist dictatorship like China, there is no way we can compete in terms of knowledge if they specialize K through 12, or in terms of wages because they've got practically slave labor with no regulations to protect them from child labor and so on. It's not only China we may have to compete with, but you may find that other individual nations will say, okay, China's really specializing, but what we'll do in Nation X is we'll devote our entire country, not just a town of 12.4 million people, but we'll devote the efforts of our entire country to a particular product. We will become the best in the world at that. America is based on states. We have 50 different states. What are we going to do? Say, okay, the state of California will specialize in A, B, and Z, and then other states won't? What would students have to do? If you, let's say, wanted to focus on machinery, and they specialized in California in furniture, what do you do? Do you pick up and move? Do you need to relocate? I'm just saying that there is a future coming down the road. It has already begun, but there's a future coming down the road as will be practically impossible for us to economically compete against these nations in a world of globalization, which will mean we will basically, in a global sense, be returning to the late 1800s where individuals were literally bidding each other down to get jobs. 50 cents, I'll do it for 40 cents, I'll do it for 30 cents. Those were very, very dark days. There were a tremendous amount of slums, but that's the way we're headed. We don't see it immediately. You look out your front door, you know, you see people walking around and going in their cars to jobs and so forth. That's not going to last. Wages will be driven down and down and down if you want to compete. And it's totally unrealistic for all these heads of departments of education around the country to say, we have to educate our children to compete in the global economy. It's going to be practically impossible. As I said, if person A is twice as knowledgeable and will work for one-tenth of the wage, the person B is not going to get the job, they're not going to get the contract. And whenever a country's manufacturing base leaves, that country is on a downward spiral because you're no longer self-sufficient. You're literally beholden. To other people for these products that you need. If you convert to simply a service industry, that's all you got. And it's not just going to be service. We already have, as I said, if you get a call from Sprint or X-rays to be read, those things are already being done outsourced over in India. So it's not just going to be certain jobs that are affected. So as I said, instead of, you know, worrying just about, oh, my gas price went up somewhat, or, oh, look, there's, you know, foreclosure over there, you need to, it may be too late, but you need to look at this coming, this monster headed at us over the horizon, because that is going to literally cause our nation to go spiraling downwards.
And I think it's so important that our listeners understand that there's actually been subsidies given to many of our industries to move overseas, tax subsidies. If you're a corporation, American corporation, you move to China, to Thailand, to Malaysia, to Mexico, well, why you get a special tax break? You don't have to pay the taxes back here in the United States. Isn't that wonderful? And then, of course, we actually talked to a congressman from Utah. He of course, was immediately voted out of office after he went on the radio and started telling the truth. They were actually guaranteeing these companies that moved overseas that if their companies were nationalized, their property was nationalized, their factories were nationalized, they would not only be reimbursed, they would be reimbursed two or three times the cost. I mean, who wouldn't want to move over there where they didn't have to put up with the Environmental Protection Agency and OSHA and certainly all the other environmental laws that we have? So basically, we did everything we could to drive these companies out of our nation into foreign nations. Why would our leaders do that if they were loyal to America? And the answer should be quite simple. They aren't loyal to America. The leaders of both political parties are globalists. They're going along with the Earth Charter, which calls for equitable distribution of wealth between nations and within nations. And, of course, how do you get equitable distribution of wealth between nations? Why, you transfer the wealth of the American people to other countries. It's quite that simple. If you haven't read the Earth Charter, point 10A, you get it on the Internet. If you can't get it, we'll be glad to send you a copy. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, these people know exactly what they're doing, and they laugh at how stupid the American people are not to realize it.
Right, and if you're a company overseas and you make a profit, you're actually penalized if you try and bring that profit back here and help the American workers. It remains untaxed if you leave the profit overseas, but if you bring your profits back here, then it's taxed. In terms of the American transnational corporations, the Beijing Olympics are beginning. I think it was CBS, one of the major networks, interviewed the head of McDonald's in China about these human rights violations, and they broke their promise to the Olympic Committee and so forth. And he basically said, we're a global company. Our only concern is with the promotion of this sporting events in China, and that's where our responsibility, quote, begins and ends, period. And so that's their attitude. The transnational corporation is the bottom line, the dollar. It doesn't matter that they are killing people, whether it's Tiananmen Square, or grabbing house church Christian members and torturing them with cattle prods, or crucifying them and taking their body parts and selling them to rich Americans and so forth. It doesn't matter.
I think it's so fitting that our president is over there in China today. Doesn't it make you feel proud to be an American, honoring these brutal, tyrannical people who have no human compassion, who hate America? And our president is over there, you know, he's going to be there for the opening days of the Olympics. Doesn't that make you feel proud? Why would he go over there? I mean, certainly the leaders of Great Britain and Germany wouldn't go over there to honor these people, but you have to understand that our government has supported communism since the American State Department brought the brutal communist regime to power back in 1949, 1950. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you must understand we brought the communists to power. We sabotaged the nationalist government. We wanted the communists in power not only there, but in Russia, and certainly in most recent episode where we did everything in Nepal recently, where Nepal was taken over pretty well by the Maoists. And who is backing the Maoists? Why, your tax money, ladies and gentlemen, American tax money. Go ahead.
Sure. And now, after that slight
I'm digression,
sorry. Back to the article, Obama, for example, is like the Alice in Wonderland Cheshire Cat. He's all smile and little substance. But he, like McCain, is a tool of these individuals. If you look at his speech that he made in Berlin on July 24th, Obama referred to, quote, one world. Now, you have to remember David Rockefeller's reference I mentioned on the program to his one world, as he called it, conspiracy in his memoirs. And then Obama referred to himself as a, quote, citizen of the world. So why is a person running for the American president saying we have to have one world and I am a citizen of the world? Well, that's because he is running actually for president of the world socialist government to come. And so if the American people choose the power elite candidate Obama, let's say, over the power elite candidate McCain, what will be, I think what we'll begin to see is this new feudal, F-E-U-D-A-L, order, which is controlled by the power elite. And it's described, and I put this in my article in a book by Arthur Miller called Democratic Dictatorship. Remember these dictatorships like China. Subtitled, The Emergent Constitution of Control. In that book, Miller reveals this. Now, this book was written some 20 years ago, but they plan these things. He said, quote, dictatorship will come, is coming, but with the acquiescence of the people, who subconsciously probably want it. The Grand Inquisitor likely was correct. People want material plenty and mysticism, not perfect freedom. Freedom is an intolerable burden. The ideologist for this development is B.F. Skinner. The goal is predictable man, a person who conceives of freedom in Hegelian terms. Americans are moving into a Skinnerian world.
And I think it's absolutely right. Our guest has been Dr. Dennis Cuddy. I hope you've enjoyed it. And Dennis, we'll look forward to talking to you next week. God bless, and thanks so much.
Thank you, and you have a good day, too.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Every week, thousands of violent crimes are committed. Don't let yourself become a statistic. Be smart. Be safe. Trust pepper spray instead of your luck. PepperSpray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. PepperSpray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. PepperSpray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. PepperSpray.com has great news for outdoor enthusiasts. Now you can protect yourself against possible animal attacks with safe, humane animal repellents. Featuring counter-assault bear deterrent and mace brand animal repellent. Enter radio in the coupon box and you'll receive 10% off your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to PEPPERspray.com. That's PepperSpray.com or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. And, of course, this is the time when I really need to remind our listeners that our ministry is primarily listener-supported. And if you agree that we really do have a problem and you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and you can join the Radio Liberty family. You can subscribe to our newsletters. Some people just send us a donation, whatever you can do, and if you can afford to, we'd appreciate it. And then, of course, we really have to understand that there are evil and wicked people there who are betraying our country. They have a different goal. They are globalists. And, of course, the phony war between communism and capitalism is phony as a $3 bill. We finance communism since its inception. If you don't believe that, you need to, of course, read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, Professor Sutton's book, which we carry, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. That's Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. My book, Brotherhood of Darkness. The pamphlet we have called The Communist-Capitalist Alliance goes into how we financed the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War so we could keep the war going. And then, of course, we have the book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. My interview with Professor Sutton, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. You've got to be able to think out of the box. How did we bring Fidel Castro to power? You'll want to see my DVD, World Revolution, my interview with Ambassador Earl T. Smith, who was the American ambassador to Cuba at the time that the American State Department and the CIA brought Fidel Castro to power, knowing full well he was a communist. You're not going to hear this any other place other than through our ministry. People aren't going to tell you this. They're going to take this old idea that communists are the enemy. Yes, yes, we're arming the communists, we're preparing them for the Third World War, but these wars are as phony as a $3 bill. The First World War was a phony war fought to bring about the world government. The Second World War was a phony war. And people say, oh no, we had to do something about Adolf Hitler. Ladies and gentlemen, Adolf Hitler was being funded and financed by the Americans and the British. If you haven't read Professor Sutton's, Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, you need to get that. And notice how at every turn why England was encouraging Adolf Hitler to take Alsace-Lorraine, to take Austria, to take the Sudetenland. And then, of course, when he went after Poland, why, of course, then, of course, we immediately declared war on Hitler because they wanted a war. Why would he declare war on Hitler? Well, he invaded Poland. But Russia invaded Poland from the east at exactly the same time. Why didn't they declare war on Russia, too? Because it was as phony as a $3 bill. We were financing Russia. And, of course, we financed Adolf Hitler. If you don't believe that, you need to read the book Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, available from Radio Liberty, as is so much of this material. Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Professor Sutton, who was a friend of mine before he passed away. Understand that American corporations funded Adolf Hitler, not only before but during the war, as they were building the trucks and the dive bombers and the tanks for the Wehrmacht that was being used to kill our boys. But is that any different than during the Vietnam War when we were funding indirectly the Viet Cong who were killing our boys in the rice paddies of Vietnam, or are funding the Pakistan government that funds the Pakistani intelligence, that funds the Taliban that's killing our boys in the poppy fields and villages of Afghanistan? It's like deja vu all over again. And once you begin to understand it, it all makes sense. Other than that, nothing really makes sense. Go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com. Listen to our programs. Watch our DVDs. They're free. Watch the new section we have now on other DVDs. We talked about it being somebody taking it down so that you couldn't pick up the programs. And suddenly after I announced that on the radio, they're all back up there. So you can watch Building 7 come down. It's quite obviously a controlled demolition. We ask you, of course, to remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.